This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Rich Galen, author of the three times a week online column, Mullings.com. He's also a former press secretary for Senator Dan Quayle and House Speaker Newt Gingrich. He also served a stint as executive director of GOPAC. We want to draw on his communication skills today and find out what exactly the White House is hoping to communicate with the president's overnight trip to the Gulf Coast, as well as what we might be able to expect in his primetime address to the nation on Tuesday. And Rich, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
What kind of strategy are we seeing unfold here?
You know, what the White House is doing is they needed to find, and I think they think they have found, a common enemy, and that is BP, British Petroleum, or it used to be called British Petroleum, now it's BP. In the beginning, as we all remember, Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary, took great pains to explain that when the accident first happened, that this was BP's responsibility. They had the expertise, that the White House was sort of keeping an eye on things, but they were depending upon BP to kind of get in there and fix this. And the reason for that was that the White House recognized that if this Gulf oil spill and the name Barack Obama got tied together, it would be virtually impossible to pry them apart, which is, of course, what happened. And it happened because a senior Democrat, James Carville, stood in front of the CNN cameras and proclaimed loudly that the president was going down the wrong path because BP didn't have the Gulf Coast's interests first in its heart. It had the interests of its stockholders first in its heart. And there's a lot to be said for that. That's what corporations do. So in spite of themselves, the White House decided that they better pretend that they really had been involved in this from the beginning, which they had not been. So they set the president down to the Gulf Coast for about a three-hour tour. It sounds like something like a title song of a TV show. They went on a three-hour tour, and then he bailed back out and went up to Chicago. That was over the Memorial Day weekend. And he got roundly criticized for parachuting in. And on that trip, although I'm not sure how widely it was reported, I happened to have been in the Gulf when that happened. But the cleanup crews hired 400 additional temporary workers to be bussed in just for that day, and not even for the whole day, just for the time that the president was on the ground. And when I say temporary, I mean one day workers, never to be seen again. So they got caught in that as well. So now what the White House is doing is they're saying, look, this is how seriously we're taking it. Not only going to Louisiana, where we've been now twice before, but we're also going to finally show up in Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, and going to spend the night in Pensacola. And that is just so that the, as the president called them, talking heads, can't accuse him of just parachuting in and parachuting back out again.
Rich, you mentioned that a lot of the political heat came on from the comments from James Carville, most especially because he's from the same party as the president. But there seemed to be a White House perception that he wasn't hands-off on enough, so he went down to the Gulf and spent more time there. Then there was the perception that he wasn't angry enough, so he got angry, even cussed on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. But once the impression is there in the minds of the public that this isn't being handled right, how tough is it, from your experience in politics, to reverse that impression?
It's almost impossible under the best of circumstances, Greg, and this will be the worst of circumstances. I do a little bit of work for Boone Pickens, who's a geologist and has been in this business for 50 years, and he said on the second or third day that none of these capping things or this oil capture stuff was going to work. He said the only thing that'll work will be a relief well, and that's going to take 3 or 4 months to get done. And all that time, this oil keeps spewing out, and because BP either was uninformed or intended to misinform, that's for somebody else to decide. Originally we were told that it was flowing at about 5,000 barrels a day, and then they said they were capturing about half of it, which meant that they were getting about 10,000 barrels a day, which meant that the total was 20,000 barrels a day. So every bird that they have to clean off with ivory soap or Dove or whatever they use that gets photographed, it's now imprinted in people's minds that this is Obama's Katrina. And as hard as they try not to draw the line between what happened in the aftermath of Katrina and the aftermath here, this oil spill, even if it stopped today, which it will not do, there is hundreds of thousands of maybe millions of gallons of oil floating around in the Gulf, and that's all going to be blown ashore by either a hurricane or a strong onshore wind or whatever. and it's going to literally spray up on the President of the United States.
Let's talk about what we might be able to expect in the speech tomorrow night. For the most part, the president has obviously spent a lot of time pointing the finger at BP, and so have a lot of other people. And we're also starting to hear a lot of chatter that he might use this as an opportunity to really put one last push during this congressional session for his version of energy reform. Are those both pretty good bets?
Yes, I think they're both excellent bets, in fact. It's not clear to me how the oil spill translates into a need for cap and trade, but that's because I'm opposed to cap and trade, so I'm not looking for a connection. But I do think that it is an opportunity to do something about using more natural gas that's, for the most part, is drilled onshore and doesn't present these kinds of issues. But the rest of it is that he's going to demand that BP set some number of billions of dollars aside into an escrow fund so that the U.S. government can appoint people to hand it out. If I remember the BP Board of Directors, I'd say, I don't believe we're going to give you our money so you can do with it what you want. I think we'll do with our money what we want. We have promised to make everybody whole, and we will do that. And if you don't trust us, too bad. And that's the problem with a lot of this stuff. The president can wag his fingers. It's BP PLC. It's a British corporation, not a U.S. corporation. And the danger is that BP will say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to split ourselves into two pieces. One, BP America, which is going to be the people that own all the gasoline stations here and the oil rigs and what have you. The other is BP World, which owns everything else. And we may just take that, we may separate it and then walk away from BP America, and you guys can have it.
Rich, given what we talked about earlier and the difficult job it is to reverse public impressions, what does the president have to do just in terms of assurance tomorrow night, if anything, to really reverse the tide of public opinion that's amassed on this?
I've been doing this for a long time, and if I had, even at the risk of giving them good advice, I'd be happy to give it, but I just don't see a good way out of this. They didn't get into this in one day. They got into it in about 10 weeks, and it's going to take at least that long to climb back out of it. And then, as we all know, the clock is ticking toward November 2nd, which is these midterm elections, and what the next step that I think we'll all see, including your listeners, is that we'll start seeing Democratic members of Congress cutting and running from the president, and whether it's on energy or whatever else they've got up their sleeves to try to get done in these last relatively few weeks before they break for August and then go home to campaign, the president's approval rating is now down in the mid-40s. Democratic members of the House and Senate running for your election are going to start running away from him because they sense that he doesn't have a good answer either.
So he desperately needs BP to miraculously fix this thing or hope for another story to knock it off the front page.
Or some good news somewhere. I mean, there's no good news anyway for him.
Not recently anyway. Rich, always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
Rich Galen is the author of the 3 Times a Week online column, Mullings.com, former press secretary for Dan Quayle and House Speaker Newt Gingrich. He's also a former executive director for GOPAC. This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.